Hey everyone, welcome to the Period Party. I'm Nicole.
Hi guys, I'm Nat.
And on this episode, we're talking about how to create harmony with your health by mastering your mean girl with the lovely Melissa Ambrosini, the best-selling author of Mastering Your Mean Girl. Melissa teaches women how to master their inner mean girl, smash through limiting beliefs, and ditch the self-doubt so that they can start truly living the life of their dreams. Named a self-help guru by Elle Magazine, she is known for her inspirational live events, her books, booming online community, her empowering goddess groups, game-changing online programs, and her soulful guided meditations. Her mission is to inspire women across the globe to create a heart-centered life, one that's wildly wealthy, fabulously healthy, and bursting with love. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here. And I just want to say, the Period Party as a title is freaking brilliant.
We thought so too.
You know, though, I have to say, we were in the US together, Nicole and I, a few weeks ago, and we were like, oh, hi, you know, I'm Nat, I'm Nicole. Yeah, we host the Period Party. Like, sorry? Yeah, we love it. That's all that matters.
I know,
we
exactly.
love it that you love it.
People love it. I mean, yeah, they think it's really cute and kitschy and fun, so we'll go with that.
Brilliant.
So I am really down with this whole mean girl thing, down with busting the mean girl thing, because I feel like this is truly the bane of most women's existence. So tell us how you got into this. Like, how did all of this start?
Well, I had a very, very, very loud mean girl. That's how it started. But, you know, for most of my life, I had let my mean girl run and ruin my life. You know, she's that internal voice. And you can call it your ego. You can call it your inner critic. You can call it your shadow self. You can call it Mary, Bob, whatever. It doesn't really matter. The thing is that Elvis, exactly. Everyone has that inner critic within them. Mm-hmm. And mine used to say, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not working hard enough, you're never going to meet the guy, you're never going to get out of debt, etc. And we all have that voice. And it took me hitting rock bottom back in 2010, where I actually ended up in hospital. Before that, I ignored all the warning signs. You know, I kept on getting these nudges from the universe, and I kept on ignoring them for about 2 or 3 years. I was in and out of the doctor's office. I was in and out of emergency, and I just wasn't ready to listen. And the universe was like, right, if you're not going to listen, we're going to make you listen. So I ended up in hospital for just over a week with a whole cocktail of health issues. Mm. But what I realized when I was laying in that hospital bed, the doctor plonked this tray full of drugs in front of me, antidepressants, antivirals, antibacterials, antibiotics, freaking everything. And I knew that that wasn't good enough for me. Now, looking back, that was my intuition telling me that that wasn't good enough for me. But I didn't know what my intuition was back then, because I didn't have that knowledge and awareness. I was, you know, just suppressing all of my emotions with drugs and alcohol and partying and boys and shopping and all those sorts of things. So I didn't know it was my intuition, but reflecting back, it definitely was. And it said to me, this isn't good enough. There's got to be another way. And what I realized was that I needed to get healthy and happy and well again. And from there, I went on and studied holistic nutrition and health and life coaching and yoga teacher training and acuenergetics and energy work and all this quantum physics. And I just dove headfirst into this spiritual, holistic nutrition, wellness, personal development world. And I became obsessed with it. And the reason why I became obsessed was because I started to feel better. I started to nourish my temple, which I'd never, ever done before in my entire life. And everything started to clear up. You know, my eczema cleared up. My fatigue got better. The depression started to lift. The eczema got better. The hives got better. I got my period back. You know, all of these things that I was dealing with started to improve. And I just started to have this zest for life that I'd never had before. But what I realized was it didn't really matter how much kale I was eating and green juice I was drinking. If my mean girl was still really loud and running the show, I was kind of wasting my time, my money, and my energy. So I realized that I had to master that inner mean girl. And that's where the whole idea of mastering your mean girl came from. I was working one-on-one with women then. I was coaching women one-on-one, and you know, we started to clean up their health and all of this, and I started to see the same thing that happened to me. They'd start to feel better, but it didn't matter that they were, you know, eating a gluten-free diet or whatever. They still had this really loud mean girl. So I created this three-step mastering your mean girl process, and I started using it on my clients, and they started to lose the weight. They manifested the dream guy. They cleared up health issues and illnesses. They got out of debt. They started and launched their dream business. And all of these amazing things were just unfolding before their eyes. And that's when I realized, okay, it doesn't matter how much green juice you're drinking or how many affirmations you're repeating. You've got to start with your mean girl first. And that's why mastering your mean girl is so important in every area of your life.
Yeah, I'd have to say I've shared some patience with Mel as of late, whether she realizes or not. And it's been quite profound because it's the same thing, you know, I'm helping them to work on a different level, you know. It's what, you know, the things that you're talking about, what they do in their own life, drinking the right juice and eating the right food and you know, adapting their lifestyle. That counts, you know, to a certain degree. And then, you know, my in the clinic, my whole premise is to help to try and, you know, make their body work better. But it's exactly what you're saying, Mel. If they're on repeat, they're telling themselves that they hate their body, that they'll never have a baby or they'll never have a period, then that's what they're manifesting for themselves. And I see that time and time again. So, I mean, as part of these three steps that you talk about, and you know, people need to really, they need to grab your book and learn from themselves. But what are some of the things that you can, that you advocate for people to start to try on when you're starting to encourage them to see a different way?
So the three-step process is very, very simple, and I'm going to talk you guys through it, but obviously getting the book is imperative because I go into so much more detail and depth in that. But the first step is awareness. We have to become aware of what it is that our inner mean girl is actually saying to us. Because for 24 years, I didn't know what it was that my mean girl was saying to me because I was unconscious. I was walking around like a zombie. I was unconscious. And when I really took the time to sit and break it down, the things that she was saying to me is you're not good enough. You're never going to get a period. You're not pretty enough. You're not skinny enough. You're never going to get out of debt. And I wrote down all of these things. So awareness is key. So whether you want to start just with your health first, write down everything that your mean girl is currently telling you. You're not going to lose the weight. You're never going to get a period. You're never going to fall pregnant. Just, you may as well give up, whatever it is. We have to become aware of it first, because what you do is becoming aware of it, you're shining light on something that is dark. And once you have shone light on something, it's no longer dark. You know, once you have turned the light on. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Once you've turned the light on in the bedroom, it's on. You can see.
Because we're often resistant to it, aren't we? So, you know, I see this time and time again, and I know I've a lot of it's like owning your crap. Like, for example, people might say, I don't know, you're disorganized. And I'll be like, I'm not disorganized. I am, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I am not disorganized. The minute you turn around, you go, you know what? I'm so disorganized. It just is. Yeah. All of a sudden, you kind of own it, and then you can work out what you want to do with that to change it. But the more we resist it, and that's often a good place, I think, for people to start. If you're saying, you know, become aware and they're going, but I don't really know what that is, like I don't know, then I would say, you know, when you're driving the car, try and like every now and again tap into what you're thinking about, because often you're in your subconscious, right, and you're off with the pixies, but it's often in that thought process. Would you agree?
Definitely. And awareness is the first step. That's why writing it down, getting it out of your head, being clear, owning it and going, this is what my mean girl's currently telling me. And that's okay, because now that I know, I can change it. Because what you don't know what you don't know, you know?
Exactly.
Once we do know it, we can't unknow what we now know. Unless you have a serious head injury, like fall over, have a car accident or something like that, and you lose your memory. Once you know what you now know, you can't unknow it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So the second step in this equation is, so number one, it's awareness. Write it down. Write down what your mean girl's telling you. You know, if they're one of your patients, Nat, I would write it down and I would take it to you. If I was having a session with you, I would walk in and go, hey, Nat, nice to meet you. My mean girl's telling me I'm never going to get a period and I'm never going to fall pregnant. Then you can go, okay, cool. Well, before we even look at what's going on health-wise, let's work on that belief first.
Yeah, totally. Totally. This is another reason, again, off topic, but I love Chinese medicine so much because it works on the mind and the body. And, you know, they're not separate. And that's what you're saying as well, that you cannot separate the two. So anyway, keep talking.
Yes. And then the second step is gently close the door on that thought, okay? So when that mean girl thought comes knocking on your internal mind door, you don't let her in. What most of us do is they let her in, they let her sleep over, move in, sleep in your bed, wear your clothes, and you let her hang out for weeks, months, if not years, decades. And that's what most people do. But if you imagine it like an annoying salesperson, so like say an annoying salesperson comes knocking on your door, you would say, thank you, but no, thank you. I'm not interested today. You know, I've got to get back to cooking or whatever I'm doing. But what most people do is they go, oh, sure, come on in. Come in for a cup of tea. Yeah, sure, give me your spiel. Yeah, what are you trying to sell me? Yeah, and they let them hang out and stay for dinner.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage you, when your mean girl comes knocking on your internal door, to plant that seed of you're never going to get a period or you're never going to fall pregnant. Instead of letting that thought hang out, we're going to say, thank you, mean girl, but no thank you. And we gently close the door. Easier said than done, right? Because we've had 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe 60 years of letting her come in. So it's not going to be, she's not going to just walk away and go, okay, cool, no worries. She's going to put up a fight. She's going to be elbowing the door open. She's going to have her foot in the door and say, and not give up easily. She is not going to give up without a fight. She'll be yelling under the door. She'll be running around the side of the house trying to get in the windows. She will be climbing up the side of the house trying to climb in another way and get inside your house, which is your head.
This reminds me of a zombie movie.
Yeah, I was about to say. I was like, this is...
Well, that's what it's like.
Slaying the mean girl in cinemas now.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, my
and
goodness.
That's what she's going to try and do. So however long you've had that mixtape running for, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, she's going to put up a bit of a fight. But you know what? You don't have to let her in, and that's the absolute truth. So you can say thank you, but no thank you. And it's not about slamming the door in her face and telling her to F off. It's not about, there's a lot of people that talk about banishing the mean girl and killing the ego, and it's not about that. It's about using her as a compass to come back to your truth. That is what the ego fear is there for. So once we've gently closed the door on her and we said, thank you, but no thank you, I'm not interested today, I'm too busy following my dreams and doing what I love, the third step is choose love instead. So in every moment, we can either choose fear, which is our mean girl, or we can choose love. And once we have become aware of the things that she said, we've gently closed the door on her, we come back into our heart and we say, well, is it actually true that I'm never going to get my period? Do I have hardcore evidence that I am never, ever going to get my period, or I'm never, ever going to fall pregnant? Like, do I have hardcore evidence to prove this? And most of the time, the answer is no.
Definitely.
And when you remember that, and you take yourself through that three-step mastering your mean girl process, life is a lot more effortless and there's a lot more ease and grace. And sometimes you'll need to master your mean girl millions of times a day. And then the more you do it, the easier it gets. And it's a practice. It's a daily practice.
So what is that? So what, when you say that, the daily practice, what does that look like exactly? Is that something that you start with getting up in the morning and doing something around the three-step process?
No, it's when it comes up, then you practice the three-step process. So you don't need to practice the three-step process right now. Like, you don't need to do the three-step process right now, because unless something's come up for you, you know, unless a mean girl thought's
going,
come up.
I hate the sound of my voice. I don't know what to say next.
There you go, Nat.
Let that stuff go. But we've moved right past that. You know how many people say that to me? They're like, you know, when you listen to yourself back, don't you just hate the sound of your voice? And
everybody,
I'm like,
hates,
you know, we're
voice.
Long past that. We yeah, are long yeah. past that. Everybody, everyone says, oh, I sound so whatever, different or whatever. We're long past that. That's just mean girl behavior, right, Mel?
Totally. I don't even have time to entertain that.
Agreed. Okay. So it's really just doing it, the process when this is coming up. And like you said, right, for many women, it comes up like a million times a day.
Yes. Mm. Yes. We have between 60 and 80,000 thoughts a day. So you could be having 60 to 80,000 mean girl thoughts a day. Men have about 40,000. So they literally have almost half the amount of thoughts that
we
have.
They're kinder, or they're just a little bit less, well, how would you put it nicely? Unaware. I think it's so funny because that is so true. Like, if I think about all, and this is, you know, only I think something like 2 or 3% of those thoughts are conscious. Is that right, Mel? I think that's
yes.
right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So think about how many, if I think about how many things I think about in any given day, and I think about what I know my husband potentially thinks about, that's a pretty true statistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's just a difference in our makeup.
Yeah, totally. That's fine. That's the way we're supposed to be. So, Mel, for those people that are listening and saying, yeah, that's fine, that's easy for her to say, you know, she's got it all going on now. Okay, I know you're going to call mean girl on them to begin with. That's their mean girl, not actually true. But, you know, I love how you say to people, you know, this is a continual practice, that you're not by any means are you enlightened and, you know, it's all smooth sailing from here.
And cured of your mean girl.
Yeah.
No, because if I had mastered my mean girl, I would have levitated and transcended out of this body. And I haven't yet.
Oh, you mean you haven't done that yet?
No, guys, I haven't. I'm not there yet. Like, I'm not just there. You know, I'm working on it, but it's not there just yet. And anyone who does tell you that they don't have an ego and that they are enlightened, I would run the other way.
Mm. I would agree with that. Yes. So tell us about that then. So so you're saying that obviously you don't have it all figured out, but a lot of women do. I mean, I think they look at all of us, especially people who are in the spotlight, and they say, oh, well, you know, it's easy for them to say they have successful businesses and they found the guy and they got pregnant and la, 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 la. So is there any advice that you have for women who are just starting out and really discovering the mean girl and trying to keep her out their house?
Yeah, I mean, it is a daily moment-to-moment practice. Mm-hmm. And the more – okay, she's going to come up when you're not present. When you're present and in the moment, there's no room for her to pop in. It's when you're in your head and you're not present and you're, oh, I shouldn't have done this and I should do this. When you're in your head, that's when she pops up. When you're present and in the moment, that's when she's not going to pop up, because she cannot exist in the presence, in the present moment. Because when you're in the present moment, you're just here, you know, like right now, my mean girl cannot come up because I am here with you guys. I'm present. I'm not thinking about anything else. I am right here. All of my attention, I'm staring at my computer screen, like at the Skype thing. I'm just, all of my focus and energy and attention is on this conversation that we're having right now. I'm not thinking about anything else. But if I was to sit here and kind of daydream and wander off, then that's when she sneaks in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think, yeah, totally. And just that the mind is just so powerful. I don't think I've told you this, Nicole. One of our podcasts, we spoke with somebody, and it was basically her husband left her, or she left her husband and she got her period back, but she hadn't had a period for a really long time. Who was that, Nicole?
It was Jamie. I think it was Jamie. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I had one of my patients go and listen to that podcast.
You did?
And yeah, I did. Ooh. And you ready for this? Her period came 2 weeks later.
Oh, really?
Because the thought of her leaving her husband, and I said to her, it's not about the fact that you need to leave your husband. It was about where your mind went, that you had all of a sudden, you had this space, you had freedom. And obviously within the relationship, she wasn't experiencing freedom. And that was what was trapping her. And that was what, so it's that same thought process, right? It's the same thing of it's wild, but it's so fierce. If we don't learn to tame it, it can run rampant. Like Mel's saying, it runs the show until we show it that we're in control. You know, that they're not in, you're there. Yes, that your mean girl is not running the show anymore. I love it. Like, I just think it's so important for so many women to understand this.
Yeah. I was going to ask you something, Mel, about fear-based thinking, because we were just talking about that a little while ago, and how, you know, how that's detrimental to your health. Obviously, we just talked about that with Nat's client listening to a previous episode, and you mentioning that being a pretty big part of ending up in the hospital and your own story. So how is it, you know, have you witnessed it, the fear-based way of thinking being detrimental to women's health, and like how has it shown up?
Oh my God, yeah, absolutely. For me personally, it was, you know, she would say to me, you're never going to heal. You're never going to get rid of the eczema. You're going to have adult acne for the rest of your life. You know, I was so fearful. I had adrenal fatigue, and I was so fearful to go for a tiny little 2 second jog out of fear that I would wipe myself out. You know, I couldn't even exert a tiny bit of energy because I was so scared that I would end up back where I was. And that fear-based dialogue from my mean girl just kept on playing out. And, you know, even you know, things that used to make me react, like foods that would make me react, even years later, I would go to eat that food and my mean girl's like, you're going to break out in hives again. You know, you're going to get an upset stomach. You're like, it's just constant. Yeah. If you let it, it is constant. It is relentless. Your mean girl is relentless. She won't give up. But if you just constantly stay present and tune in to your body and take yourself through that three-step process daily, you will live a much more joyful and happier and healthier life.
And is that basically your definition of balance and having quote unquote balance in your life every day?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love that word balance. I really struggle with it, and I think it's just about, it's like a pendulum, you know. You know, one end, it might swing down one end, and then you're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna swing back the other way, and then like I feel like it's just like, you know, I'm constantly pivoting. I'm constantly changing course, and I'm constantly realizing, oh, okay, I've got to up my self-care because I'm feeling a tiny bit under the weather. Or you know, last week it was I got my moon, and the first 2 days of my moon, like the day leading to it, and then the first day of it, I'm out. I am out. Like I'm not in excruciating pain like I used to be, but I just feel a lower energy, and I just feel like all I want to do is curl up on the couch with a blanket and a cup of tea and my hot water bottle. I don't want anyone to talk to me. I don't want to be mum, and I don't want to be a wife for just 2 days. And I just want to be on my own. And that's self-love. That's honoring yourself. That's changing and pivoting and changing course. And I think that's what we've constantly got to do as women.
Agreed.
Yeah, 100%.
That's balance.
100%, yeah.
There you
go.
Exactly. Yeah, right. 2 days on the couch.
You know, balance doesn't always mean balance.
Yes.
Balance means pivoting, like Mel said. So, Mel, I know we're running out of time. Where can our listeners find you? Because they are going to need to go and buy your book.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So you can head to masteringyourmeangirl.com. And you can get my book, and I've got a 10-week activation program that complements the book, and I've got some really awesome, powerful meditations that also complement each chapter of the book. So there's 10 chapters, 10 meditations, 10 weeks in the program. So that's all found at masteringyourmeangirl.com. The book's in bookstores, or you can get it online if you like things being delivered to your house. And then I'm at melissaambrosini.com, and then I'm on all of the social media platforms. So come and introduce yourself to me and share your story with me. I'd love to hear, you know, where you're at. I love meeting people who are on this journey and wanting to be the healthiest and best version of themselves. It's super fun.
Yeah, I know. I think you need to tap into Mel, because she's very – I love how giving you are, Mel. You're always on there. You're always chatting with your tribe. You're always hanging out with them. But I think, you know, people can actually tap into you and get more of, you know, more of what they need.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, I feel like I went through 6 years ago, depression, eating disorder, ending up in hospital. I went through that so that – I can help other people, and that's why I feel my role now is to help and to be of service to other people. Like, this is my mission. This is why I'm here. Otherwise, what's the point?
Well, okay. I mean, I think also, I know, sorry, I'm keep on talking, but I think also until you've actually experienced something yourself, it's very hard to be able to, you know, guide other people. And I think the fact that you had, you know what, Mel, though, prior to that, people would have looked at your life on the outside and thought, oh, well, she's got it all going on. Yeah. And that wasn't reality on the inside.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You had the career that was successful. You know, it looked like it would have looked to people like. So it just goes to show that what it is on the outside and what it is on the inside can be polar opposites.
Exactly. You can't judge anyone else. You just have to stay in your own lane and really just focus on you and being the best version of you, whatever that looks like for you.
Right.
Well, yes. Mel, thank you so very much for joining us. For those of us who are wanting to get more of the good mean girl discussion happening, go and check out Mel. She's listed everything that where you can find her. We're going to be back again next week for more girl talk on menstrual. But in the meantime, if your hormones are screaming for more, be sure to check out our previous Period Party episodes. And, of course, if you love what you hear, please take just 3 seconds to rate the podcast on iTunes. Until then... see you next time, Mel, and see you, Nicole.
Bye, ladies.
Thank you,
Mel, so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.